AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. The weather is finally calming in California after weeks of rains that flooded homes, collapsed hillsides, and toppled countless trees. CBS's Steve Futterman has the latest.
For the most part, the rain has stopped here in California, but hillsides and mountains are still saturated with water, so officials are still worried about potential dangerous mudslides. The heavy rains have brought a bit of good news. Many dams and reservoirs that have been well below normal levels are now near capacity. On Thursday, President Biden travels here to the Golden State to assess the damage.
A $10,000 reward is being offered for information leading to the arrest of two suspects wanted in Monday's massacre in Central California. The local sheriff says the murder of six people was deliberate and horrific. KGPETV's Esteban Reynoso has more.
She believes somebody may be inside the house. She's in a trailer. She believes these subjects are inside the house. There's five adults and one baby.
Scanner traffic from that Monday morning. One of the three survivors was able to call 911 while gunshots rung out just feet away.
A failed Republican New Mexico legislative candidate, Solomon Pena, has been charged with paying four gunmen to shoot at the homes of Democratic officials after he visited them to dispute his 47-point 2022 election defeat. The shootings happened last month in Albuquerque at the homes of two county commissioners and two state senators. The mayor describes Pena as a radical right election denier. A man from Massachusetts has been charged with the murder of his wife, who's been missing since New Year's Day. CBS's Nancy Chen has that.
The continued investigation has now allowed police to obtain an arrest warrant, charging Brian Walsh with the murder of his wife.
Walsh is already in police custody. Last week, he was charged with misleading investigators and has pleaded not guilty.
Blood was found in the basement area, as well as a knife, which also contained some blood.
Anna, a 39-year-old mother of three, was last reported seen on New Year's Day at home in Cohasset, Massachusetts, near Boston.
The remains of a young woman who went missing in Chicago more than 5 years ago have been found, says CBS's Matt Piper.
Cheyenne Kluss was 22 when she was last seen in November 2017 at her home in Downers Grove, Illinois. She traveled into Chicago a few days later and was never heard from again. Now she's been found through dental records, though it's not yet clear where her remains were found.
After months of negotiations failed to produce a contract, some educators at the University of Illinois at Chicago went on strike Tuesday. They're demanding an increase in the base salary for all faculty and a cost of living increase for each year of the contract. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you...
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can. But it's just as important to take time for yourself. AARP can help. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us. Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a two for Tuesday edition. Both devils in-house. How you doing, Dominic?
Hey, Crudy. I am awesome. Evan on the board. Our fair audience. Great to be back, man. All fired up and ready to go. What's been going on since I've been gone?
You know, we had such fine co-host in your absence. The audience is like, Dom was gone?
Come on. Well, thank you for all those fine folks who stepped in to fill the breach.
I don't want to forget anyone, but William Walter yesterday, someone just rode by in a golf cart. I didn't know you could ride golf carts on the sidewalks here in Madison, but there he goes. William Walter, singular, yesterday, from our Wisconsin Revolution. We had James Santel on Friday. I had, who else? We had
Matt Rothschild.
Yeah, Batman.
Yeah, nice.
A lot of helpers, a lot of co-devils, but it's always good to have you back where you belong, Tom, in a undisclosed location, a bunker off Brady Street somewhere.
Awesome, man. Great to be back.
Well, Dom, while you were gone, it was just as bad as it ever was. You missed nothing, absolutely nothing.
So more of the same.
More of the same. Let's start with perhaps the most important race in America, Dom, the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. And before we can talk about the race itself, I think we've got to talk about, you know, why it potentially matters. Why does a seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court matter? Why is this potentially one of the most important races in America, Dom? Well, theoretically, it's cases like the one before it today. The Wisconsin Supreme Court, in its current makeup, which is 4-3 conservative, is hearing a case. And the ruling in this case could really affect all sorts of different ways that medical care is administered in the great state of Wisconsin. And I'm already ready to make a bold prediction right from the top here, Dom. Don't like doing math on the radio, but here's the outcome. I already know the outcome. I haven't even read all of the article yet. I'll share some with you, our fair audience. But here's the outcome of the case. Here's the vote total. 4-3. That will be the ruling. 4-3.
I disagree, Crudy. And I have read the article, and I say this will be a unanimous vote.
Oh, you're so wrong. Perhaps more wrong than you've ever been.
I don't know, man. I don't know. And I'll tell you why.
Unanimous. Please do. Please.
Well, let's get into it. I have my sources. I have my facts. I have my reasons, Crudy. So let's jump in, shall we?
Oh, please do.
Corey has reporting at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is deciding whether a local hospital, whether a hospital, should have been forced to give a patient ivermectin to treat COVID-19, a ruling that will have implications on how the court can intervene in decisions of healthcare providers. Supreme Court heard oral arguments in the case of Gahl, G-A-H-L, versus Aurora Health on Tuesday. When Alan Gahl's uncle, John Zingsheim, was put on a ventilator in October of 2021 due to complications from COVID-19. He got a prescription for ivermectin from a doctor not associated with Aurora Medical Center Summit, where his uncle was hospitalized. When doctors at Aurora refused to provide and administer the drug, Gahl sued. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has not approved the use of ivermectin to prevent or treat COVID-19 infections and has warned users about its potential risks to those who are infected. The Waukesha County Circuit Court ordered the hospital to give Zingsheim the ivermectin, but then the judge revised his order, saying Gahl would have to supply the drug and a doctor to administer it, according to Wisconsin Public Radio. The case then went to the Court of Appeals at District 2, where the majority concluded the court had no legal authority to force Aurora Health to administer the drug. The litigation center of the American Medical Association and the state medical societies and Wisconsin Medical Society filed briefs with the Wisconsin Supreme Court urging the court to affirm the appellate court ruling that found the law doesn't give a patient or a patient's agent the right to force private hospitals or physicians to administer a particular treatment that they conclude is below the standard of care. Quote, holding otherwise would allow courts to compel treatments that the medical consensus finds to be substandard, the brief states. That outcome forces Wisconsin physicians to choose between the law and their ethical duties, potentially exposing patients to harm and physicians to liability. In a statement, Crudy, Aurora Healthcare said the health and safety of patients is the top priority, which is why physicians rely on evidence-based treatments.
Then who brought the lawsuit? Why would it have merit? Why would it have climbed all the way from, what, Judge Shelley Grogan's Waukesha County courtroom all the way to the Wisconsin, the esteemed Wisconsin Supreme Court? If there was not merit, if you couldn't force the hospital to do this, then why is it all the way at the highest court in the state?
Because you keep appealing the losing ruling? I mean, that's why, Crudy. Aurora, here's what they said. We strongly believe the court should not be allowed to compel providers to administer care that is medically substandard, and we are pleased that the American Medical Association and the Wisconsin Medical Board have weighed in to support our position. Gahl's attorney, Karen Muller, said the case would show the people of Wisconsin if, quote, they really have any rights or if they are just suggestions, and if they are suggestions, then why do we have a legislature? Mueller finished third in the August 9th Republican primary for attorney general. She received 25% of the vote with a campaign promise to investigate hospitals for not treating COVID-19 with ivermectin. So we know where she's coming from. On Tuesday, Mueller said hundreds of people are dying in hospitals because they're having a drug withheld from them. She tied her campaign to former state rep Crudy's buddy, Tim Ranthan, who ran unsuccessfully in the Republican primary for governor. He and Harry Waite, leader of the Racine County-based group known as HOT Government that promotes false claims of voter fraud in the 2020 election, attended the Supreme Court hearing. I mean, this is all mega all up in here, Crudy. So why is this going to be unanimous? Because if it's not, if you can, as a patient, walk into a hospital and force them to give you whatever drugs you deem necessary, everyone's going to go there for their opioids, Crudy. Oh, my back hurts. I need some opioids. Oh, I got to have a procedure. Give me some opioids. I mean, it's going to open the floodgates. There's no freaking way that this could ever, ever happen.
Are you sure? Are you
yes,
absolutely
I'm
sure?
Sure. Yes.
I did get a small part of my earlier statement wrong. The lower court was Judge Lloyd Carter presiding in the Waukesha County Court. It was the appellate court, Judge Shelley Grogan, that overturned the lower court's ruling. But here's the distinction I would draw. This patient had a prescription from a medical provider. This wasn't you saying, hey, man, give me my drugs. This was something a little different. This was something where a different medical provider said this is the appropriate course of treatment. And first, the judge, the one, let me make sure I've got the proper judge here, Judge Lloyd Carter, said, okay, Aurora Health must administer this drug at the direction of a outside of Aurora Healthcare's directive. And then came back and revised his decision and said, okay, but then you got to find an outside provider. You know, you got to bring someone willing to administer this drug. But Dom, if you had a doctor in your back pocket, if you had Dr. Feelgood that showed up at Aurora Health with your drugs, well, under the lower court's ruling, God bless. You want more opioids? Call Dr. Feelgood. As long as he brings them down to the clinic, you can have them. I think you are going to be sadly surprised at just how wrong you are again.
What? Come on, the first judge already revised it. Then they lost in the appellate. Now they're going to lose again in the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Now, Will, you say it's 4-3. I say no way. I mean, come on. Think about
4-3. 4-3.
4-3. You say it's 4-3. I say no way. I think it's going to be unanimous. It cannot possibly be. You have the hospital associations, these physician associations. They're all against it. They have ethical duties, man. So you get someone in your back pocket from another insurance hospital provider, God knows where, right? Maybe overseas. I mean, who knows? Doesn't matter. No one's saying that you as a patient cannot have ivermectin, but you can't force a hospital to give it to you because you want it. You can go down the street, you can go to your vet, you can go buy it there. But you cannot force a private entity to give you substandard health. Hell, it's not even approved by the FDA. If someone takes too much ivermectin and dies from it, Crudy, then they're going to sue everybody, and they would be right to do so. Because it is not an approved drug or remedy for COVID-19.
What about our buddy, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson's right to try all the drugs bill?
That was signed into law. You can try it, but you cannot force Aurora to give it to you. So
you cannot.
Luck. I mean, I'm down, man. You want to try it? Try whatever eases your pain. I am down with. But there is a standard for medicine in this country, man. And if you say, yes, you can have ivermectin, you can force your hospital to give you ivermectin, then you can force your hospital to give you every treatment for everything. And that's, of course, never going
to
happen.
You know what you're trying to do, man? You're trying to solve this problem with logic. And that's your shortfall in this case. Logically, it should be a unanimous 7-0 decision defeating this effort. The gall effort that, you know, forced me to try all the drugs or, you know, whatever, right? But here's where your logic breaks down, and it always does. This is an ends justifies the means court. The conservative bloc, the three conservatives, and then Hagedorn, he's a little bit of the swing vote, the judicial independent, right? I guarantee these three are down for this. Why? Because it's a Trump-supported Republican policy. And if it's a Trump-supported Republican policy, Rogensack, Ziegler, and the bad Bradley, they're all down. The only question on the 4-3 ruling is Hagedorn down with science and reality and the liberal bloc, or is Hagedorn down with crazy? That is the only question before the court right now. The soul of Brian Hagedorn. Come back with us. It's a 2 for Tuesday. Try all the drugs. Dom did. More Devil's Advocates.
Oh, my arm! It's broken!
I don't care what drug will work. Try a bunch of them.
The Devil's Advocates.
But do you think the Biden administration's called up Laura Ingraham and making the announcement to the world that we're invading Russia with amphibious troops? Come on, Trump. I mean, and I want to hear fine Trumpsters that want to defend that crap. You know, he's a little late for the early bird buffet. Maybe you people were just naive marks who believed he was a super genius.
Then I got some land I'd like to sell you outside of Fukushima.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
What is dadication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves and all I had to do was be there.
That's dadication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 31 overnight under overcast skies. Winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Highs level off around 36. Cloudy skies tomorrow night. A mixture of precipitation likely. Lows level off around 32. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, welcome back from the Big Apple. I was a little surprised to hear you had attended a Broadway show.
Yes, yeah.
Which we went to go to?
MJ the Musical at the Neil Simon Theater off on Broadway. It was fantastic, man. You know, those productions are amazing. And I got to tell you, so it goes through some of the chronicles of Michael Jackson's life from his childhood to his teenage years and his adult years. And so they have three different actors playing Michael. And they were, I mean, these kids were singing their asses off. It was just amazing. And the set changes were great. The interactions, the back and forth, a lot to unpack. It was a really, really entertaining play. Musical.
Couldn't get tickets to R. Kelly, the musical, Dom?
No, I think they might have been selling those in the alley, Crudy.
You know, I was in the Big Apple of the Midwest over the weekend.
Oh, yeah? Where is that?
Wausau.
What?
Very metropolitan, Wausau.
Yeah, no.
It's sort of the gateway to the northern part of Wisconsin. I got to tell you, I was much more impressed by Wausau than a lot of the places I've been to.
Did you make it to Dave's Bullet Dome, man?
But I looked them up. I looked them up. 75 years, they're still in business.
Awesome.
Here's one unusual thing. I'll tell you one Warsaw story. W-A-U, S-A-U, Warsaw.
Like Warsaw.
Commercial. stayed at this, I don't know, Best Western, wherever my wife put me up. So my wife and I were up there, and we're checking out the cool new Bull Falls Radio, WXCO facility, right at 301 North 3rd Street, right downtown. You're going to love it. We're going to party up there, dude. But I went to a soda machine, and it took $10 bills. And, you know, soda in the hotel, it's like $3. So I'm like, all right, man, I'll get some loose change for my wallet. Never know when you got to tip someone. So I put in the $10 bill, and I hear nothing but a little bit of change coming up. Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. I'm like, oh, God. And I'm thinking, now I'm going to get $7 worth of quarters, right? Only there should be more quarters coming out. So I'm feeling like, come on, I just got stiffed by this soda machine in Wausau. And I was saying such nice things about the city of Wausau. So I look down, Dom, and I got to tell you, they're silver dollars, but I am completely unaware that the U.S. currency has started issuing gold, silver dollars, and they have, like, different faces. I got a Fillmore silver dollar that's gold, like a brassy gold.
You got, a dollar coin.
Yeah, I got a bunch of them here. I got, like, at least seven, right? And I think I went back later and bought another soda with the five. I got an Abraham Lincoln. I got you know, I don't have the best of eyes anymore. Yeah, Millard Fillmore. I got a gold Millard Fillmore silver dollar. You couldn't pick Millard Fillmore out of a police lineup. I mean, I look down and I'm thinking these are Chuck E. Cheese cube. You know, they're like tokens. I'm not sure if I can spin this. This might only be valid in Wausau. 844-967-2789. The city has been invoked, and Stacy has responded on behalf of Marathon County. Stacy, welcome to the show.
Hey,
from
Stacy.
Wausau.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good. Excellent. I enjoyed your city. It's beautiful. I love the Christmas lights down in the downtown district, and enjoyed jalapenos and went to the steak place and Polito's pizza. I enjoyed the food especially, Stacy.
Yeah, it's a great place to live. I lived in Madison. I went to college in Madison, but I chose to move back here where my parents were after college, and I'm glad I did because it's a great place to live, work, raise children.
Well, Stacy, how do we turn that part of the state a little more blue? How do we get the truth out? WSAU, our righty whitey competitor, that's a big stick up there, Stacy. How do we get the truth out? How do we go kick them in the shins? What do we do to start getting the people of Marathon County to pay attention and stop voting red?
I don't know what to do. Good luck.
You got a Democratic mayor.
A dynamic progressive mayor
in Wausau. You guys elected a Democratic mayor. What happens when you leave town? Why is Marathon County red while Wausau is blue? I guess that's the better point.
Good question. Who knows? We could sit and debate this all day. Who knows? Politics, that's why. Who knows? So, I love your show, first of all.
Thank you. You have excellent taste.
Here's on this Supreme Court ruling that's supposed to come through with Gull versus Aurora.
Yes.
Here's a twist to it. What if someone is on an experimental drug? They're doing an experimental drug, a drug trial that's per se through the UW-Madison, where they do a ton of them. And they live in Wausau, and they get hospitalized. And the hospital says, well, that's not a standard approved treatment. We're not going to give you that drug.
Excellent point, Stacy. Dom, how would you respond based upon your surety?
Well, yeah, and thanks for the call, Stacy. That's a good point. I don't know how that would work out. I would think that if you are on some sort of experimental, you know, trial of a drug, you signed off some liability, some waivers, and those kinds of things, and you probably are going to have a direct, you know, source to those drugs that would bypass perhaps a local hospital. So that would be my thought on how something like that would go down, Stacy. But I am certainly not a healthcare professional, but I think there would be ways to facilitate that without providing any additional liabilities to the local hospital.
Obviously, this circumstance that was being described, this was someone that was stricken in the hospital with COVID-19. This wasn't a chosen drug treatment where suddenly whatever disease they, you know, maybe it's a diabetes treatment, they're in receiving care because their blood sugar's out of whack, only they can't get their prescribed theoretical drug. COVID-19 was a different circumstance. Obviously, that wasn't planned for. And ivermectin, that was the horse paste, right? That cannot be the right answer. But it's going to be a 4-3. That is the right answer. Come back. Hardly ever wrong. 63% of the time, we get it right every time.
Time for the medicine.
I'm not allowed!
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Damage from weeks of heavy rain is being reported in much of California. CBS's Chris Van Cleve is in Ojai.
If you look around here today, it's a beautiful day, but Californians can tell you they have seen significant landslide events happen even a couple of days after heavy rain. So they're not out of the danger zone yet.
Police are looking for the killers of six people in Goshen, California. Sheriff Mike Boudreau.
Go back and look at your home videos.
Doesn't matter how far away you were from the scene. Any video evidence that you find suspicious, please contact the Tulare County Sheriff's Office.
The search for a missing D.C. real estate executive is now a murder investigation. Prosecutors in Massachusetts have charged Anna Walsh's husband with her killing. WTOP Radio's Megan Cloherty has that.
Investigators shared they found a broken knife and blood in the basement of the couple's home, and that Brian Walsh bought hundreds of dollars in cleaning supplies the day after his wife was last seen.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Crew.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
It's Friday.
Oh, it is Friday.
It was a short week, and it still feels like it was a long week. And we did it!
We did. Well, we're almost
it.
We almost did it.
We're still going to get through today. But we did it. We live to tell about it. We're having fun.
Yeah. All kinds of fun things planned for today.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Right here on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt US Kids, and the Ad Council.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
The big and tall of political talk. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the 2 for Tuesday edition. You get both devils and a little e-bone on the side, lightly screening your phone calls at 844-967-2789. And if you are from Warsaw, Wausau, a lovely city, I swear to God, really like the city of Wausau. I'm very impressed by the city of Wausau. You can always join us, listen to us on WXEO Bull Falls Radio, and the newest addition to the Civic Media stable, the Death Star, Dom, WGBW. I tell you what, if you were looking for oldies today, and you turned on the greatest radio show ever, and you found us for the very first time, and you're listening from Green Bay, call us at 844-967-2789. You, Green Bayan. What are Green Bay people called?
I don't know. It's a great question, Crew. Green bands?
Green people. You Green bands, you go to the top of the list. But in the meantime, we'll take all comers from all ports of call worldwide. Civic Media app, take us with, right? All the Patriots do. The most important election nobody's ever heard of, Dom. We've heard of it. Our audience has heard because we keep telling them. The spring state Supreme Court race in Wisconsin has serious implications for abortion policy, voting rights, and more in a perennial battleground. I feel like we live in the fishbowl, Dom.
It never ends, man.
I mean, I'm literally broadcasting in a fishbowl right here. Come wave at me. Just don't do the CJ thing. When you slapped the glass that one night, that startled me a little. A little. Anyways, the fine reporting at the Politico, control of the Wisconsin State Supreme Court is on the ballot this spring, and the contest could decide the fate of abortion rights, redistricting, and more in a critical swing state. Should a more liberal-leaning jurist win the job in the April election, it would flip the balance of the state's highest court for at least 2 years. And there are significant policy outcomes hanging on the result. The court chose the state's political maps for the decade after the Democratic governor and Republican legislature deadlocked, and it's likely to hear a case challenging Wisconsin's 19th century law banning almost all abortions in the near future. Wisconsin's Supreme Court also decided major cases on election laws and voting rights before and after the 2020 presidential. So it's important. And anyways, more of the reporting here from Politico. This is a quote, our friend Ben Wickler, Democratic Party chair, great state of Wisconsin. The 2023 Wisconsin Supreme Court race is the most important election that nobody's ever heard of. Well, give us a little bit of credit, Ben. I swear our audience is learning more and more each and every day. He goes on to say, it is implications that will affect national politics for years to come. Really, at every level of government. It's a lot of levels, Dom.
Crudy party organizations and ideological outside groups, both sides of abortion debate, for example, as well as labor groups, are planning to spend millions on advertising and activating extensive field networks. It will be the latest multi-million dollar judicial race in years, which reflect both the outsized importance of the outcome and the increasing focus on contests further down the ticket and away from Washington. The court currently has a 4-3 conservative majority, as Crudy always mentions, but one of the conservatives' held seats is open after Rogensack has decided not to seek another term. Further scrambling the politics, another conservative justice, Brian Hagedorn, who's elected 19, has sided with liberal justices in the past on some high-profile cases. It is becoming clear that Democrats want to use the Supreme Court as a vehicle to circumvent legislators who actually make policy decisions, said Mark Jefferson, executive director of the state Republican Party, taking through a range of additional issues that could be in play at the court, from school choice to photo ID for voting and gun control measures. If the liberals pick up another seat, they will have a rock-solid majority that never deviates from liberal activism, he said. Voters must first navigate an unusual primary before choosing the new justice. There are four judges running for the position, which is technically nonpartisan, with two on either side of the ideological divide. Former Supreme Court Justice Daniel Kelly, who was appointed to the spot by then-Governor Walker in 2016 before losing a 2020 election for a full term, and Waukesha County Judge Jennifer Doro, whose rose to prominence for her handling of the trial of the Waukesha Christmas 2021 parade attack, are running on the right. On the left, candidates are Dane County Judge Everett Mitchell and Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz. The top two finishers in the February 21 primary will face off in the April 4th general election. The split field raises a possibility that two ideologically similar candidates advance to the general election, as has happened in some recent congressional elections with all party top two primaries. But most observers don't think that's likely. Crudy, I don't think that's likely.
That is not likely.
The unusual primary dynamics have left many major players on both sides of the sidelines for now. Both state political parties are remaining neutral between their ideologically aligned candidates in the primary, and so is Governor Tony Evers, a Democrat. One notable exception there is Fair Courts America, a group supported by GOP mega donor Richard Uihlein. It has pledged support and millions of dollars, quote unquote, to Kelly. And as a side note here, Crudy, did you hear that Scott Walker's kid, who was in charge of one of the campaigns, has now left? Is this something new, or is
did Alex get fired?
Well,
that must be some Big Apple gossip I somehow missed out on. You keep reading.
All right.
I'll do a little Googling.
You take on Crudy. Let me double check that.
Oh, come on, man. I already flipped
all right, over all right, here. All right. Assuming two judges on opposite sides of the ideological spectrum advance in the primary, the general election is expected to revolve around clear differences on redistricting and abortion policy, as well it should. On redistricting, the court ultimately selected a congressional map drawn by Evers, but it was one that leaned Republican anyway, after the court called for a new map that hewed as closely as possible to the old one. And Curtis, we know the old one was stacked against the Dems. A similar and more protracted fight also broke out over legislative lines, and more challenges to the maps could arise in future years, especially if the balance of the court flips. I think it is huge, Evers said in an interview on the sidelines of the Democratic Governors Association winter meeting last month, specifically citing the redistricting battle. The Supreme Court has leaned conservative on almost all the issues, so yes, this is a big deal. National party groups that are heavily involved in the redistricting fight, such as Republican State Leadership Committee and the National Democratic Redistricting Committee, are also planning to play in the race. The NDRC, Democrats' main national redistricting organization, is remaining neutral in the primary, but has started to reactivate its network in the state ahead of the general election. Former Attorney General Eric Holder, the organization's chair, is likely to travel to the state for the general election. He's been on before. I imagine he'll come on again. Wisconsin's race has also taken on increased importance for the pro and anti-abortion rights group in the wake of the two decisions this month from Idaho and South Carolina state Supreme Courts, which recently heard cases over the state's abortion restrictions. A near total ban was upheld in Idaho, but a law preventing the procedure after about 6 weeks of pregnancy was thrown out in South Carolina. The issue could come in front of the Wisconsin court soon. State Attorney General Josh Call, a Democrat, has sued to overturn the state's 1849 law that makes abortion illegal in almost all circumstances. While that case is winding its way through the courts, abortion providers have stopped performing the procedure because of ambiguity around enforcement of the law.
You know,
Cody, my understanding is there's some abortion clinics have opened up over the border in Illinois from Wisconsin.
Yes, that is true. I've been looking up both the Wanker kids, the offspring of Wanker. Let's see. Matt Walker, WI. See what he claims his job is. Owner and managing director at WalkerMediaAgency.com. That's got to be the Wanker's kid, right? I think so. There's Matt and Alex. I mean, how many? Well, that'd be unfortunate if some other poor bastard's named Matt Walker living in the state of Wisconsin trying to work in the media world. No, it's got to be the Matt Walker. He's sharing tweets from Charles Franklin and the like. Matt Walker claims his job is owner and managing director of WalkerMediaAgency.com. And the other Walker, and I think this is probably a demotion, Alex, working for Senator Bradley. I'm like, Bill Bradley still a senator? No, Julian Bradley, the one black Republican in the state of Wisconsin.
Yes, I remember Julian. Of course, Wisconsin Supreme Court, this race coming up. A little bit more here.
So neither of the Walker boys are really gainfully employed, as near as I can tell.
Well, just like their dad. Hell, they're part of the Young America's Foundation, right? I mean, I'm sure they can find some work there. Planned Parenthood is planning to spend six figures on the Wisconsin Supreme Court race between national and local affiliate investments. The organization, in conjunction with another partner group, is planning voter education campaigns, get out the vote drive, and independent expenditure advertising in the general election. Both sides say the issue is expected to become much more prominent in the general election. You think? Ahead of the primary, Wisconsin's Right to Life, another anti-abortion group, is working to educate its members on the importance of the race. But Gracie Skogman, the group's legislative and PAC director, said the group will be much more focused on the general election. A quote, "The unfortunate news is the majority of voters that we have interacted with are not aware of the stakes of the election, the candidates who are on the ballot, the views of the candidate, or the tie between our current pro-life statutes and the result of the election." Skogman said, "From our perspective, there's a long way to go. It's really not that difficult. Republicans are for forced government birthing, and Democrats are for allowing people to have the option to determine what to do with their own bodies." Any questions?
Dominic, as a footnote, saw my first two state Supreme Court yard signs today. Oh, driving really? Out to Richland County. Drove out to WRCE, News from the Center, and WRCO, our FM affiliate down there. And Richland Center on the way down, Highway 14, driving the back way. Two signs, maybe three, for Janet Protasiewicz, Janet Protasiewicz, Judge Janet, the liberal candidate. So quite unusual in that, you know, that's starting to get out to rural Wisconsin. Two on the right, one on the left on the way back. So I think I saw three Judge Janet Protasiewicz signs on the way out.
I mean, obviously very important, as Wickler has pointed out, as Politico is taking the time to report on, and millions of dollars. But what my understanding, Kurti, the Wisconsin Republicans, they have a masterstroke. They got a plan to what? Push Republican turnout, right?
They
get a statewide referendum.
Well, we'll get there in a minute, but let's get to the phones first. While there's a little bit of time in this segment, 844-967-2789. Again, people from Green Bay, you rise to the top. But Dee's calling for Madison. Welcome, Dee. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dee.
So, hey, guys. So, in going back to the Supreme Court decision that's coming down, I have to side with Dom because, of course, logic and reason. If they vote 4-3, and they say that a patient can walk in and demand that a physician provide them with whatever treatment they want, what about when a woman walks in and wants Plan B?
Yeah, good point.
Excellent point, Dee. But I don't think the judicial legislators, in this case the conservative bloc of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, they always rule starting from the conclusion they want to reach, and then they try to back into the logic. And Dee, I don't think logic and rationale is going to keep this conservative bloc from voting for this. It's Trump's horse paste cure. So they're for it.
But Dee, the other side of that is, of course, what is the limiting factor? I mean, they're not going to make a law specifically only for ivermectin. If something like this were to pass, that means everybody can go in and ask for everything, right?
Right, that's how I see it. Now, they, of course, could go back, just as Kurt's saying, the logic factor for the conservatives is clearly out the window. But I actually think this is a nightmare scenario for them, that they have to vote on this. Because from my point of view, there's no way, no matter which side they vote for, that they're winning.
Well, you make an excellent point, Dee, and I will point out, Wisconsin Supreme Court upheld the election of Joe Biden in the state of Wisconsin, despite all the evidence and the recounts and the 21,000 votes. That was a 4-3, guys. Logic, reason? My ass, this is the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Come back, more Devils.
Everything you want.
Yeah, probably.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Warning, listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views.
It's scary. Maybe I'm coming a little bit more over the left, but...
Well, it's not left. It's good governance, Steve.
It's good to be exposed to different ideas, and I do appreciate that you do put that out there in the airways, because a lot of times where you just get a little sound bite of this or a little bit of that, and that's the end of it. You're to be commended for that.
Dave, I'm glad you finally come around to commending the greatest radio show ever, man.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I'm 54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference. At aceyourretirement.org, in just 3 minutes, you'll get a free personalized retirement plan. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows level off around 31 overnight under cloudy skies. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 36. Overcast tomorrow night. A mixture of precipitation likely. Lows dip down to about 32. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
The Devil's Advocates. Making radio great again.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, you alluded to some efforts by Wisconsin legislative Republicans. Let's not forget, they've gerrymandered themselves like a tick on a dog. They're not going anywhere unless there's an unfavorable ruling by the Wisconsin Supreme Court saying you can't be that partisan. That goes beyond the pale. So in a little act of self-preservation, they're trying to influence the outcome of the Wisconsin nonpartisan Supreme Court election to happen here on April 4th. And they put forth some statewide referendums. Now, Dom, you told me and mentioned to me, and of course I mentioned it yesterday on the big show. In 2018, in the midterms, we saw legalized marijuana referendums worked very hard by local advocates, pushed them through city boards, county boards, and like 16, 17 different statewide, pardon me, community referendums around the state.
Not statewide.
And that actually reflected the will of local voters, and they were all overwhelmingly successful, meaning that's the will of the voters. Now, of course, Republicans block that. I'd love to see a statewide referendum on legalizing marijuana. But the Republicans got all sorts of malfeasance planned for a statewide referendum. Well, the earlier headlines today, Dom, were that Governor Tony Evers had put forth a proposed referendum. What about abortion? What about letting the voters of the state of Wisconsin have a say?
Right.
Well, the newest headline, Dom, Republicans blocked Dems' push to put abortion on the ballot. So that ain't going to happen. Then move ahead with the bail measure, that's their plan. Here are the politics behind the moves. Let's go inside the politics for a minute, Dom. In the first floor meeting of a new legislative session, the state Senate today advanced a constitutional amendment proposal that would expand a judge's discretion when making bail decisions and rejected a proposal put on the spring ballot to put on the spring ballot an advisory referendum asking voters whether abortion access should be restored in Wisconsin. So they got theirs on the ballot, but abortion will not be on the ballot because they don't want to know the will of Wisconsin voters. And also that might motivate some that wouldn't vote for a conservative that would rule to uphold the 1849
ban on abortion. They already know what the Wisconsin voters want, Crudy. Wisconsin voters want legal access to abortion. A majority of Wisconsinites do. They are not down with an 1849 law. And as we've known, as Wisconsin Election Commissioner disgraced Bob Spindell, it is the philosophy and act and effort of the Republican Party, the MAGAs, to suppress the votes. And anything they can do to suppress votes, they will do, because that is how they win.
Well, in this case, Tom, they're trying to encourage their voters, you know, that would come out. Let me read a little bit more of the reporting here. Republican lawmakers voted down a proposal from Evers and Democratic lawmakers to overhaul a resolution they ultimately passed Tuesday that would poll voters in the April 4th spring election on whether Wisconsin residents should be required to work for welfare benefits. Democrats instead wanted to survey voters on abortion policy. Now, the timing of all three measures taking up on Tuesday is aimed at, in part, boosting turnout in one of the most consequential Wisconsin Supreme Court elections ever. It says in a decade here. I read what's written. A race that could decide a number of high-profile issues in the state. And again, let's not forget, one of the issues that could come before this court is whether or not this tick on dog like relationship, this gerrymandered, partisan gerrymandered of the Wisconsin legislature. And if you didn't know, it's for the benefit of Republicans.
Of course.
Well, they're going to determine whether or not that's legal and probably should not be. Now, I don't know which case will come before the courts. I don't know the merits of the pleadings. But if I was in self-preservation mode, if I was Robin Voss, if I wanted to keep control over the Republican court that then would rubber stamp my malfeasance, well, hell, man, I got a little dog in this fight. I got a little self-preservation in mind. Just keep that in mind. A little context. The timing of all three measures taken up on Tuesday is aimed at, in part, boosting turnout for one of the most consequential Wisconsin Supreme Court elections in a decade. We mentioned that part. On Tuesday, the state Senate passed 23-9 a constitutional amendment proposal that would expand discretion for judges when making bail decisions. The proposal passed both houses last legislative session, again, completely under the control of Republicans because of the gerrymander. So don't think that adds any validity, the fact that it passed through the last gerrymandered legislative session. But anyways, it must pass them again this session to be put on the ballot. Democratic State Senator Brad Paff of Onalaska and Robert Wersch of Kenosha joined Republicans in supporting the proposal. It now heads to the State Assembly for approval. The bill's author, Senator Van Wongard, Republican of Racine, said the measure would empower, I tell you, Wisconsin judges to consider much more relevant facts when setting bail. This isn't a silver bullet. It doesn't fix all problems. But unless this is fixed, it's just grandstanding. Well, that's exactly what this is. Grandstanding, because it doesn't affect state law. This is a first step. Without this amendment, there is no second step. Step one, steal underwear.
Step three, profit.
Make profit. Step two, we don't know what step two is.
We'll figure it out.
Democrats argued the amendment was fast-tracked and purely political. It absolutely is. Chris Larson, Democratic senator from Milwaukee, said, "This is fear-mongering happening in the criminal justice system." Alina Taylor said the approach sounds good, but is a Band-Aid approach. She called for more funding for the criminal justice system. Now, again, when they actually get through the primary, and you've got the completely unpalatable, apparently even to many on the right, Dan Kelly, this pompous, contemptuous former wanker appointee. I mean, he got crushed. He lost by 163,000 votes to Kurofsky. You can see why they might seek an alternative. But you got this mega donor U-line that's going to throw millions behind Dan Kelly. And what is the support of Dan Kelly? Well, he's tough on crime. Unlike his ultra-liberal opponent, Jennifer Doro, question mark, who's soon going to be characterized, at least during this primary process, by Uline's outfit as being for no cash bail. Doro is for bail reform. Doro's on the wrong side of this issue, according to many conservatives. So she's going to be castigated, perhaps. Maybe not in the racial tones that, you know, our buddy Mandela Barnes was, but they're going after Jennifer Doro. Whoever wins is going to be a damaged candidate, either by their last elective cycle, think Kurofsky v. Kelly, or by the primary. So I'm looking forward to this one. This should be fun.
It should be fun.
The battle for the soul of the great state of Wisconsin. And we'll bring you a front row seat. More Devil's Advocates, hour two, the happier happy hour. It's a Tuesday. It's a twofer. You get both of us for the price of one. More Devil's Advocates.
And I. Democracy matters.
I don't need to be lectured about how important this really is.
Okay!
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.